This woman broke down crying, apologized. that to one another. The unhealed wounds of our people present a fault in every society and in every community for the church to put reconciliation at the top of its ministry agenda. A few years ago, in Durban, the whole world came together to reflect on racism in the world. What was said about that meeting was that at the end of the conference, people did not know how reconciliation could be forged in the world, because they were afraid to go back and talk about the things that they had done to one another. That conference was underlined by fear that if any community agrees that it is responsible for having exercised racism over any people, it would be opening itself up to be sued. And because of that, that conference essentially took a position that was saying, we know that the world needs reconciliation, but we suspect that reconciliation is too costly, given our history, and we would therefore choose to turn a blind eye to reconciliation. And the World Methodist community, by coming here together today to talk about reconciliation, it has come to make a statement to the world. First, to say, we as Methodist people will never turn a blind eye to the need for reconciliation in the world. And secondly, the World Methodist Council is challenging the Methodist people everywhere to prioritize the need to be prophets of reconciliation, globally, nationally, from community to community, indeed, in the societies where we serve. It says we are parts of the fellowship of forgiveness of God. We are parts of the body of the one who was the friend of sinners, setting people free. I would like us, therefore, to take this time to reflect on those things that are inalienable to our ministry if we are going to be a reconciling church. The first lesson I would like to suggest here today is that we need to realize that forgetting our history is not an option. We cannot and should never There must be a day when things come to an end. Nihlambane izingozi. Wash each other's wounds. There can be no reconciliation, my brothers and sisters, in any community and in any part of the world unless to face the truth of their living squarely. There can never be reconciliation unless people accept the need for transformative justice. There can never be reconciliation without willingness to forgo and forgive. There can never be reconciliation where there's no desire to repent. Reconciliation brings peace. Our Lord's desire is that every community and society should embrace peace. He is kind of peace. The gospel demands that we must be agents for reconciliation. And so if anybody has been asking here, what should the bells ring for? I submit, let the bells ring for a gospel that brings together those who are alienated from one another. In the dark days of apartheid, people need to find a way to let the world know that if we are going to have a reconciled world, global social justice must become the platform on which we build our future.
Justice and truth, but this conference
as a church, have got to speak to these situations in an informed way. We've got to engage the world in an informed way. Last year, I visited Sudan, and there I met with a group of women, most of whom have their homes next to the Nile River. These women told us that they are not able to use the waters of the Nile because of the treaty that was signed in 1929 between Great Britain and Egypt. A treaty that forbids them from using the waters of the Nile River. I want to ask this continent, is it possible for such societies to be part of a reconciling world when nobody will try to correct that injustice? Is the fact that they are economically weak and militarily weak a justifiable basis for leaving them in that suffering? I am pleased that at least the international community has started to give attention to the problem of the waters of the Nile River. But it has to be said to this conference that injustices such as these have to serve as centers of focus for a community that has a vision of a world that is reconciling in Christ Jesus. I would like to challenge the World Methodist community to take a position in relation to a popular political maxim these days that says peace in the world depends on the balance of military power. The theory goes that if countries are militarily evenly balanced, the chances of war will be reduced. I call on the World Methodist community to publicly dispute this logic. For this logic fuels competition for power, as we witnessed during the Cold War. And in the process, small communities are vanquished. In Africa, there are many communities that were vanquished simply because of this logic. And simple people had no idea why they were every day alienated from one another in their communities and in their societies. I even want to suggest here today that the supremacy of one superpower is also not proving to be a good alternative. The world holds its breath in anxiety as small nations vie for the position and time when they will also attain supremacy. And we should not cheat ourselves. History says that great empires have in time fallen, leaving behind their children, seen by others as subjects, as objects for revenge. The vengeful vendettas and destruction in the Balkan Islands is traceable to the barbarism of the Ottoman Empire 500 years ago. It simply is crucial for the church to let the world know that what we need for a reconciling world is not supremacy of power. It is the supremacy of love that we need. As If we are going to be agents of reconciliation, we have got to encourage people to dialogue. It is important for people to understand the value for opening up and talking with one another. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. I want to share with you a story of two people in Johannesburg in the early 90s. One was a street sweeper by the name of German Lacheni. Another one was a bank messenger by the name of Jacob Dorn. When war was raging all around Johannesburg, these two, coming from opposing camps, came together. They met at night under bridges and in corners. They were not Christians. And they asked the question, how can we bring reconciliation to this city? They started bringing together a few other leaders, and as those leaders started holding hands, they came to a decision to invite the church to take the process forward. I still remember sitting in that first meeting where they had called on the church to come and help them to reconcile. As we came into the hall, people were sitting outside, literally lying on their grounds. They walked in and they called the people in. And as the people sat down, they came to me and said, you can start now. And I said to them, what should I do? What do you want me to do? They said, pray first. And I said, how do you want me to pray? They opened the book of Isaiah, the passage that was read earlier here. And they said, read that. And after reading that, God will tell you how to pray. And I read the passage, the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard lie down with the calf and the lion. A little child shall lead them. And I read that passage, and I prayed. After that, they said, here are the rules. Take us forward to a position of truth and forgiveness. We leave that to you. I tried to follow the rules. They started opening their hearts to one another. It was a very difficult meeting indeed. And after a while, they came to a point where there was a deadlock as to how to move forward. Then they said to me, what should we now do? I said, I don't know. If it was in church, I would know what to say to you. They said, tell us what you would tell us in church. I said, in church I would say, share the peace of the Lord. And they said to me, how do you do that? I said, you just stand up, go to another man, hold his hand, and just say, peace of the Lord be with you. They stood up. They said, all right, we want to do it. So they stood up. They started sharing peace. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, I have never in my whole life experienced such a deep meaning of that liturgical stanza. For these people, and they were greeting one another saying, peace of the Lord be with you, they would rush on and say, how is so and so? And then the other will say, died last month. How did he die? He was killed in this conflict.